Welcome, I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. It's the podcast where we're studying the Bible. We're working our way through the book of Galatians. Today is episode 334. We're looking at Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 through 24. Let's read our passage. For you've heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I intensely persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people, because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days. But I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. I declare in the sight of God, I'm not lying in what I write to you. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches that are in Christ. They simply kept hearing, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. Well, Paul's given a history of his own life, not so much so you know about him, but you know about him and the gospel. Why he is proclaiming the gospel, what the gospel he's proclaiming is all about. And so he's given this historical background. So through chapters 1 and 2, it's the historical background of leading up to his time with them. But it's really focused on the gospel. Then in chapters 3 and 4, he'll give some theology about the gospel. And then the outcome, the expectations, the ethical outcome of the gospel in chapters 5 and 6. So he's already talked about his calling as an apostle, that the risen Messiah had appeared to him, and he had received the gospel. It wasn't from anybody. It was something he had received directly from God. Now we know he already knew about Christianity from his persecution of Christianity. He already knew about the Old Testament through his study of the Old Testament. But that interaction he had directly with the risen Jesus Christ is what sealed the deal for him and really put the gospel in context for him. He says in verse 13, he says, you've heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I intensely persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. Well, we see in the book of Acts Paul's fervor to oppose the church, but Paul never really says why he was so upset with the church. We look at it and we say, well, yeah, there's a lot of implications that the finished work of Christ negates following the law of the Jews and their customs. But was that really so apparent then? Maybe Paul was so smart he recognized all that, but nobody else seemed to. It seemed compatible with Judaism. It wasn't until this whole thing of taking the Gospels to the Gentiles was what became the real stumbling block for the Jews. There is a hint in 1 Corinthians. Now, we can't say for sure, but it is a good hint. In Paul's letter to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul's talking about the Gospel, and he says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. So he says it's a stumbling block for Jews. Now, is he saying that because that was a stumbling block for him? The idea of a crucified Messiah. You know, different ones had different stumbling blocks. Many, and we saw in Paul's travels as he encountered Jewish people, many are more willing to listen to the idea that Jesus is the Messiah. The stumbling block was that Gentiles could become Christians without first becoming Jews, without first being circumcised. For many, that was the stumbling block there. But for Paul, was this a stumbling block for him? The idea of the Messiah being crucified? The Messiah being convicted of blasphemy by the Sanhedrin and executed, hung on a tree, which we know is under God's curse? Perhaps that was Paul's big problem, is not so much that Jesus could be the Messiah, but the Messiah crucified, the Messiah, the favored one of God, the Son of God. We don't know for sure, but that's just an interesting thought. So he says he persecuted the church and tried to destroy it. In verse 14, I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. So we know he was very zealous for the law, very zealous for Judaism. Now, by ancestors, is he just talking about Judaism? Because he's mentioned Judaism a couple of times here very recently. Or is he talking specifically Pharisees? So we know at one point he says he's a Pharisee, the children of Pharisees. So does he come from a Pharisaic tradition and those are his specific ancestors? Hard to say. But he was extremely zealous for the traditions that he had been taught. Verse 15, but when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. So he says here that God had called him from birth and had set him aside. He didn't know it until he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, but he says God did. Well, that's true. God did know it. And God's intention all along was for him to take the gospel to the Gentiles. But his point here is, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Paul was entering Damascus when Jesus appeared to him and gave him the command to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Then he was taken into the town by Ananias. Paul says, I didn't immediately go consult with anyone. I didn't go looking for a commission, authority to do anything. I just immediately obeyed Christ. So verse 17, I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Now, we're not given any of that in Acts. In Acts, it sounds like fairly shortly after Paul's conversion, Paul is preaching the gospel in Damascus, and then there's some opposition and a plot to kill him, and that's when they help him escape Damascus, and he goes to Jerusalem. Well, just because it wasn't mentioned by Luke doesn't mean it didn't happen. And so here Paul says, first thing that happened after I came to faith at Damascus was I went to Arabia. Now, Arabia is essentially the whole area to the southeast of Damascus. Damascus was basically the edge of Arabia. And what did he do there? Now, we know he was in Damascus and Arabia for 3 years, because in verse 18 he says, then after 3 years I did go up to Jerusalem. That'd be 3 years after his conversion. So he was in Damascus, Arabia, back at Damascus, and that whole thing was a three-year period. Even that, 3 years doesn't necessarily mean 36 months. The way the Jews count, you count the year you're in, then the next year, then the next year. So it could have been 12 and a half months. So it would be the third year. But it was more than a year. It was a part of 1 year, all of another year, then part of another year. Point being, for many months he was in Damascus, Arabia, and back at Damascus. And again, the question, what was he doing? Some like to think, well, he was there contemplating this new faith. Others say, well, he was there doing what Jesus had called him to do, take the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's what all precipitated the plot to kill him in Damascus, was he somehow had annoyed the king of Arabia, and there was a plot to kill him that culminated in Damascus. And that would make sense, because just before this he said, talking about God who called me by his grace, revealed the Son of me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, then I immediately went to Arabia. Well, it would make sense to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So I could go along with this idea. That's what he was doing in Arabia for this period, sometime up to 3 years is preaching to Gentiles the gospel. So then verse 18, then after 3 years, or we could say in the third year, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days. Cephas is Peter. Cephas is his Hebrew name. Jesus then called him Peter, the Greek word Petros meaning rock. So Peter is the Anglicanized version of Petros. So Cephas, that's his, Simon is Cephas. Stayed with him 15 days. He said, I went to get to know him. Now, the implication here, this is a rare word, to get to know, and probably get to know is the best translation for it. It could mean several things. But he's making the distinction here that he was not given any authority from Peter. He was not even fully given instruction by Peter, although staying 15 days with Peter, can you imagine the discussions they had with one another? So he did get the background from Peter of the historical life of Jesus. He didn't get authority from Peter. He didn't get commissioned by Peter. He got to know Peter at a personal level. And verse 19 says, but I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Some people get worked up here. Is he saying that James is an apostle? No, it's just the way things get translated, and what does he actually mean? Remember, apostle can mean two things. It can mean a missionary, or it can mean one of the apostles. So some of it's just the wording. Does he mean, I didn't see any of the apostles, unless you include James, the Lord's brother, or is he just using it in the generic sense where James would be an apostle, one sent by God? It doesn't matter there. The point there is he spent time with Simon Peter and time with James, the Lord's brother. Verse 20, I declare in the sight of God, I'm not lying in what I write to you. This is just a testimony to the fact that he is speaking the truth. In verse 21, he says, afterward, I went to the region of Syria and Cilicia. Now we know there was a plot to kill him in Jerusalem, and that's where they ushered him out of town. And in Acts, it just says, and he went to Tarsus. Well, Tarsus is in Cilicia. So he was there for several years before Barnabas was in Antioch and went to get him in Tarsus. So what was he doing in Syria and Cilicia? Well, I would suspect he was proclaiming the gospel, probably to Gentiles and Jews alike. Interesting enough, in Acts chapter 15, after the first missionary journey with Barnabas and Paul, they go down to Jerusalem because there's been an uproar in Antioch. Now, that hasn't occurred yet. Paul's probably writing this letter before the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. But the letter to the churches talking about Gentiles coming to Christ, notice it's addressed to the churches in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. We know about Antioch because that's in the book of Acts. But why Syria and Cilicia? That's where Paul's been for the last several years. Verse 22, I remain personally unknown to the Judean churches that are in Christ. Simply kept hearing, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. And here, I think he's just distinguishing himself that he was not part of the Judean ministry. He's distinguishing himself from the other apostles that, yeah, he met them. He hung out with them, at least with Peter and James. But then he went up. He had been doing missionary work in Arabia, and then he went up and did missionary work in Syria and Cilicia. All this is part of his background as he's explaining where he's been and what he's done. But really, the focus is not so much on him. The focus is on the gospel. So thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through the book of Galatians.